This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Suffolk County could take over Plum Island. Connecticut will not have to turn over its voter rolls to the Trump administration. The latest in the ongoing Yale federal government settlement saga, plus how a Connecticut school district is bucking a national test score trend. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Suffolk County could take over Plum Island from the federal government after its research lab closes later this year. The county announced preliminary plans to acquire the island off Long Island's North Fork. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports advocates are thrilled.
Louise Harrison is with Save the Sound.
We consider this to be a hallelujah moment. We've been working together for years on this.
Plum Island's future has long been uncertain. The federal government once considered selling it to a private party. It finally got federal protection in 2020. Environmental advocates want to preserve it. It has rare birds and plants, for one thing.
Plum Island is a complex place. It has historic structures. It has miles of shoreline and amazing ecosystem elements, as well as historical and cultural significance to the Montaukett Indian Nation.
Harrison says the research lab could cease operation by the fall. As long as no other federal agencies want to use it, she says it'll be available.
And at that point, the County of Suffolk can officially say that they're interested in acquiring Plum Island and begin the work of working with that arm of the federal government toward the transfer.
She says she hopes and expects environmental advocates for the island will have a seat at the table in the planning process. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Connecticut will not have to turn over its voter rolls to the Trump administration. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports on a newly dismissed lawsuit from the federal government.
Last year, the Trump administration asked all states to turn over their voter rolls, list of who's registered to vote, and sensitive information about them. Connecticut and more than 20 other states said no, so the Trump administration sued them for the records. This comes as President Trump continues to spread lies and misinformation about election integrity, including that hundreds of thousands of non-citizens are registered to vote. A federal judge dismissed the lawsuit against Connecticut, saying the DOJ has no authority to force the state to provide its voter rolls. Several similar lawsuits against other states have been dismissed. Elections in the U.S. are administered by individual states and municipalities, not the federal government. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Some Connecticut residents may have migrated to the Sun Belt, but as WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports, the state has actually gained residents in the latest census numbers.
The numbers from the 2024 U.S. Census Bureau shows more people came to the state than left it, for a net gain of 26,000 residents. Most of them came from nearby. New Yorkers made up about a third of new residents, followed by New Jersey, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and, in a perhaps unexpected twist, Wisconsin. And people came from even further than Wisconsin. Figures show more than 31,000 people moved to Connecticut from other countries. The Sun Belt did attract a large share of Connecticut residents, along with Pennsylvania. Popular places to relocate include Texas, the Carolinas, Georgia, and, of course, the ever-popular Florida. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
East Hartford's school district has historically struggled with poor reading and math standardized test scores until now. More on that is coming up.
This summer, Carnegie Hall comes to you. Carnegie Hall Live brings performances from one of the world's great stages to you, wherever you happen to be. Enjoy acclaimed orchestras, celebrated soloists, and live concerts from New York City without having to fight traffic. Listen Saturdays at 2 with an encore Thursday nights at 8. To see the full schedule, visit WSHU.org. Carnegie Hall Live, all summer long on WSHU.
Repaving projects on two major Long Island roadways began this week. That means overnight road closures. Sunrise Highway will be closed westbound from exit 53 to 51, and the Long Island Expressway will be closed westbound from exit 43A to 40. The closures will begin at 10 p.m. and reopen at 5 a.m. The town of Fairfield settled with its former CFO for nearly $100,000 for wrongful termination. The CFO was connected to a contamination scandal around a municipal landfill that cost the town more than $20 million. He was fired in 2020. Suffolk police broke up an illegal street race in East Farmingdale Friday night. They arrested 9 people, impounded dozens of vehicles, and issued 46 tickets. County DA Ray Tierney formed a street takeover task force back in 2024 to crack down on the illegal races. A group of Connecticut state lawmakers are threatening Yale's state benefits, including its tax exemptions, if the university settles with the Trump administration. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
8 lawmakers told the university not to buckle to the Trump administration's Department of Justice in a letter last week. Most of them are Yale alumni. They join a wide range of voices pressuring Yale not to cave, including state and local leaders, alumni, faculty, and students. The lawmakers say if Yale settles, they'd revisit the university's tax-exempt status and re-examine the process by which it chooses its board of trustees. The Department of Justice is investigating Yale over its admissions process, same as many other elite universities. Multiple outlets, including the New York Times, have reported that Yale has offered to settle with the administration. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
East Hartford's school district has historically struggled with poor reading and math standardized test scores until now. A Harvard University professor says there have been sizable improvements. The New England News Collaborative's Eddie Martinez reports.
A group of third graders at Silver Lane Elementary School in East Hartford sat on a colorful rug in their classroom in late May as their teacher, Angela Landon, taught them how to write a biography.
So echo me.
Echo you.
T. Topic sentence.
Topic sentence.
Landon is going into the next school year on a high note. Her district is one of several across the country that has improved reading and math test scores. That's according to researchers at Harvard and Stanford. Landon continues to drill her students.
You're ending.
You're ending.
Grades among third to eighth grade students in East Hartford are higher than they were before the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to the Education Scorecard created at Harvard and Stanford. It annually tracks data on school district performance. Researchers gauged student performance using data which included two standardized tests, Connecticut's Smarter Balance Assessments and the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Laura Roberts, a spokesperson for East Hartford Schools, is giving a tour of the Board of Education offices in late May.
This used to be two buildings that they, many years ago, combined into one building. But the stories are funky.
Roberts is referring to the awkward layout of the building, but Superintendent Thomas Anderson has a different type of story to tell on the district's progress. Anderson spoke in a conference room at the building and says increasing professional development for educators and bringing in more tutors under the high-dosage tutoring program helped boost test scores.
It came through a grant, and what we did with that was students would be taken out of class in small groups. Everything is highly organized, very scheduled, and they'd work with a tutor in math during the regular school day.
Thomas Kane, director of the Center for Education Policy Research at Harvard, says East Hartford's test score turnaround is even more impressive when compared to other Connecticut school districts.
There's a larger concentration of lower-income students in East Hartford than in the average district in Connecticut.
Kane says most low-income Connecticut school districts haven't been as successful in boosting test scores.
East Hartford and Meriden are two of the only districts with higher poverty rates that are back above 2019 levels in math and reading.
But Kane says East Hartford still has a lot of catching up to do.
They remain below the national average, but their improvement relative to 2019 is positive.
Fran Rabinowitz, executive director of the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents, was once Bridgeport's interim superintendent. Rabinowitz says there's another reason East Hartford's district improved while other low-income districts continue to struggle.
Tom Anderson has been there for a number of years now. And prior to that, they had a superintendent for a very long time. So I think consistency of leadership certainly helps matters.
East Hartford School Superintendent Thomas Anderson says his district places great value in all classes, not just the core curriculum, and that in turn is beneficial to students.
Every class counts. So whether it's, you know, an elective class where it's art or music or PE, you can see students at level of engagement in all of those areas.
Anderson says the district does face other challenges. The state's education funding formula hasn't been updated in years, so schools like East Hartford's aren't getting as much state funding as they could.
If we had the additional funding, then we're able to provide more opportunities outside of the regular school day, so more out-of-school time and those type of things. Don't think we don't need the additional funding, as that has nothing to do with it. It's just with what we have, we're making it work. It's a stretch.
The district makes do with what it has, but it has a strong sense of community. Back at Silver Lane Elementary School, a student mentioned to Angela Landon a family member lost their home in a fire. Landon offers to help with a fundraiser.
What we can do as a school and as a classroom is we can bring in some coins, maybe some bills.
The education scorecard called East Hartford a district on the rise. Whether it can sustain those efforts is an open question, but Anderson is optimistic. He recently announced plans to start a STEM academy for the district. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Eddie Martinez.
This is WSHU's Bird Song Break. This week, the Ruddy Turnstone. A stocky shorebird with a black and white patchwork pattern and orange legs, it actually gets its name from the way it forages, turning over shells and seaweed, looking for insects and small crustaceans. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break featuring the Ruddy Turnstone. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and visit WSHU.org for more. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and of course, tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And don't forget to check out WSHU.org for our brand new merch. We have tees, tanks, mugs, and so much more ways to show your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much to Molly Ingram for filling in for me the last few episodes. I'll speak to you tomorrow.